shattering this. When CBS News allowed the leader of Hamas, an Islamic terrorist organization that exists for the express purpose of eliminating Israel, wiping it off the face of the earth, and annihilating every Jew, with the opportunity to promote his lies on their program, that was reprehensible, grotesquely immoral. But then when the hosts of CBS News didn't have the wherewithal, the integrity, to hold the Hamas leader accountable, when he contradicted himself, when he contradicted known historic facts, when he just outright lied to the audience, well, that was irrational. It shows that 60 Minutes is infected with the disease called political correctness and can't get out of its own shadow. Now, I want to share one parting comment here with you before we have Don, who's just called into the program, on. Since Gaza was not occupied when Hamas started to shoot rockets into Israel, the occupation that the Muslim spokesperson is dealing with, that he's talking about, is the occupation of Israel. Not the West Bank, not Judea and Samaria, not Jerusalem, not Gaza. Israel. The only thing that would cause the Muslim to lay down their weapons, at least temporarily, would be the eradication of Jews in Israel, of Israel becoming Muslim. That's the occupation he's talking about. And yet the morons at CBS News gave him a platform to articulate that, because that is the only possible interpretation of his charter and his words, that the fundamental underwriting issue that has to be resolved is the occupation. When Hamas began this fight, long after Israel had removed its presence from Gaza, that the occupation they're talking about is Jews in Israel, the chosen people in the promised land. It goes right back to what Netanyahu said so brilliantly last week. How is it that we are to resolve the grievances with Hamas? Their grievance is we exist. And under such circumstances, for there to be news media, for there to be politicians, for there to be rebel rousers in the street and blogsters on the old interweb, that are coming to the defense of the Muslims who perpetrated this, tells you just how lost the world is, how far from reality we have gone, how obnoxious to our Creator we have become. Hello, Don. It's always great to see your name emblazoned on the what's called the stack here at GCN. I understand you want to talk about a document that is the not only the only answer to this problem, but the document that defines the very nature of the problem we're discussing. Welcome, Don.
Good morning. I want to help you along here. You had a bad week last week. That was probably one of the worst weeks I can remember. Now I want to drag you screaming and hollering back to the source of the reason for this program. You speak constantly, other than the terrible news that we're involved in, about the thing called the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And you do a great job of pointing to it, pointing to it, pointing to it. But you seldom refer to the readers or the listeners of this program before you actually get a copy of this, a real hard copy that you can visibly see and read and relate to what you're talking about at the same time you're talking about it. Now, would that give you a little break from this terrible situation that we're having?
You know, Don, well, I would never argue on my behalf in terms of producing a quality professional radio program. And last week was one of those weeks where I was confronted by my lack of professionalism. In fact, several people wrote me last week about the program, and I was compelled uniquely to listen to archives of the program to help answer questions that emailers had asked. And I was extraordinarily disappointed. In fact, I spent much of the last few days wondering whether or not I should even continue the program, because I'm not impressed with my diction. I'm not. In fact, I'm disappointed in my lack of professionalism. And I sent a letter to a number of people who I know listen to the program regularly and told them of my concern. And announced my concern even on the Friday program of celebrating the Torah on Blog Talk Radio, Yada Yada Radio.
Yes.
And a number of things came about from that. One is that the regular listeners, the people who actually, I would say, endure this program regularly, all 3 hours, 5 days a week, do not seem to be troubled by what I perceive as my own issues in terms of diction and professionalism, and say that in fact, there is no other place where anyone is willing to expose government and the military and patriotism, religion, as effectively, or even to expose them at all, as you do. And there's no place else that is a staunch advocate for Yahweh and his Torah, using evidence and reason to convey what he said, even though what God said is opposed to almost all human myths. And the bottom line is, I'm maybe every bit as flawed as I think I am, but there's no one else willing to do it, and it needs to be done. So we continue on. Now, Don, I'm going to also agree with you. Even though programs last week spent an enormous amount of time being very general in the contrast between what man is proposing and what God is offering, where I went and spent sometimes 2 hours of this program talking about that contrast and sharing with people the basis of the covenant and how to participate in the covenant and why God wants us to walk away from religion and politics so we can choose to trust and rely on him. It is true that I don't nearly often enough point people to where they can go to verify what Yahweh is saying to us through his Torah teaching, through his guidance that he provides in his prophets and Psalms. And you're right, that I should do that more often. Specifically to address your statement there, Don. This is, I know, not the reason that you called, but your site, which is yhwh-qra.com, does a marvelous job of presenting what we know prophetically from Yahweh's testimony to us, particularly by what has been revealed by searching the oldest manuscripts available, the Dead Sea Qumran Scrolls, and translating them from Hebrew into English, is as that's provided in the seven volumes of yadayah.com, yadayah.com. That's not only presented on your site at yahwh-qra.com, but you also provide an audio capability to that so that folks can listen to it, you know, as they drive their cars, as they're doing their work, which is a much more effective way to communicate it, to maximize people's the time that they would have to learn. And you've done the same thing for introtogod.org and the book Introduction to God. You've done the same thing for Questioning Paul, which is questioningpaul.com. And I'm appreciative of that. I do not personally emphasize those things enough. All of our sites, Don, not your site, and not blessyahweh.com, which is another wonderful site that you, I know, also endorse and benefit from, which has all of the archives of this program. And they're not just as archives by date, but Richard actually listens to the program and writes a description of them so you can know as a listener what is going to be contained in that hour. It's just recently that Yadayah and Yadayah.com and IntroToGod.org have been available again online. They went offline for a matter of months. It was part of Rackspace throwing us off of their servers because of the denial of service attacks launched by Muslims against Prophet of Doom, and Prophet of Doom is still unavailable. But gradually, we've brought the sites back up. Yoel, a good friend of mine, has devoted the time to bring up Questioning Paul and the revised version of Questioning Paul, and then Yadayah, and now Intro to God, and they're all available again. And we ought to be mentioning that. We also ought to be using the URL shattering myths. You know, we're talking to thousands of people each day. And we ought to provide a direct link to this material from a Shattering Myths website. But we're not doing that. There is so much more we ought to be doing. We'll return with Don after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Don, you began the past segment by saying that I did a really rotten job last week, particularly of directing people to a copy of the Torah. And I agreed with you that I did do a rotten job, that I am not very good at this, and that I was wrong. May I say one thing as a partial defense, though, of my unprofessionalism and lack of appropriate focus?
I think your self-deprecation is not shared with the general public, and I would ask listeners to either support me or support you. I think you're doing a wonderful job, and your shortcomings are, I think, one of a few billion people on the face of this earth.
You think there's a few other people with some flaws?
I think well, don't go there. We've had that discussion.
Yeah, I know. Don has constantly reminded me that that he has flaws that are older than I am. Yeah. Now, I know. I know. Be fair. Be nice. This is my my partial defense. Is that when you read the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, and I think they're indistinguishable. You know, when you say, "Where do you go to read the Torah?" Since Torah is the Hebrew word for teaching, guidance, and direction, and Torah exists not just in the first five books of the Hebrew revelation from Yahweh, but Torah, God's, Yahweh's guidance and direction for our lives exists throughout the entirety of his revelation, which goes from probably the first book was really Job. And then throughout the Torah and Bereshith all the way through Devarim words. But it permeates the prophets and Psalms. As a matter of fact, the most important book about Torah is actually in the 119th Psalm.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Okay, now that's not my alibi here, and my alibi here is only partial. But when you read the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, one of the things that's really interesting is Yahweh's approach. And while I don't want to infer that I am somewhat similar to Yahweh, what I do want to infer, to the best of my ability, I've tried to have my approach be consistent with Yahweh's approach. In other words, if Yahweh is like you are, which is just blunt and bold and uncompromising when it comes to evil and lies, and he is, then I think I should be. If Yahweh is disgusted by religion in particular, but also in politics and militarism, I think it's appropriate for me to be as well, and for you. If Yahweh's approach to teaching as a father is throughout his testimony, throughout the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, is a blend from saying, I want to expose and condemn religion and politics and militarism and financial schemes because of the harm they do, while at the same time he's sharing, I really wish you would let go of those things so that you could walk to me and become part of my family, consistent with the terms and conditions of the covenant. If Yahweh uses that approach, then I think it's a reasonable thing for us to do as part of this program, to blend the two, since Yahweh does throughout his Torah, prophets, and Psalms. So I think there are times when I overemphasize the news and our reaction to it, but it is the same approach that our Heavenly Father uses throughout the Torah, prophets, and Psalms.
Oh, absolutely. And the call you got last week, I thought was very, very, that just lit my fire. The comment that he made on the Tanakh was fantastic, especially when you re-guided him around to he wasn't studying the Tanakh.
Mm-hmm.
He was studying the Jewish interpretations.
Right, the Talmud, and the Mishnah.
The Mishnah, yeah. And if you get right down to it, Yah only gave us a few direct things. In fact, if you go back to Garden Eden, he only asked. He didn't tell them. He just suggested. I hear music.
Yes, Don, I want you to stay with us, because the topic that you're speaking of now, and I think it was Tony, it was the caller's name last week, as well as you yourself, there's probably nothing that inspires me more than the transformations in life. And we'll speak of that in just a moment. Back to Chattering This. In the time between the beginning and end of that music, Randy and I, Randy produces the program currently. I'm going to have an announcement tomorrow in terms of the production of the program going forward that is significant. We discussed a number of things. And one of those things is, you know, when you don't put yourself on a pedestal, the fall is not so great. And I think it is important to acknowledge that we are flawed implements attempting to do our best to expose that which is contradictory to Yahweh's testimony, while at the same time sharing what is consistent with it. And
could I add something there?
Please.
We are the tool. We are not the power.
Correct. Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah, it's marvelous. That's the thing that I began this program and the one that preceded it, which was on Blog Talk Radio, began it by speaking of being a dull, dirty, and flawed implement. And that so long as is no one got caught up in the implement and focused on the one using the implement, then these programs would be beneficial. And that, if you notice, Don, in every one of the books that I've written and you have provided people access to, both audibly and in written form on your site, yhwh-qra.com, every one of the books begins by saying that I'm irrelevant. And absolutely irrelevant to the message that is being conveyed, that I'm just a unqualified and flawed implement. If you're fascinated by who I am, then you're going to miss the message, because all we are is a conduit of what Yahweh had to say. His testimony is available to all of us. You can read the Dead Sea Scrolls. You can translate the Hebrew text into English. You can think about it, analyze it. It's available to all of us. We do not claim to have any unique or personal revelation. Everything we say is what Yahweh said that he recorded in writing many thousands of years ago. Now, that being the case, and the acknowledgement that we're simply an implement being used to convey his testimony, when someone like Tony calls the program, who is making his way out of religious lies to the truth, and his call is similar to a letter that I receive almost every day now of someone either through the books or through this program coming to know Yahweh. And they all have the same story, which is that the truth was absolutely consistent with what they always had known had to be true about God. They just sensed that the religion, in fact, they didn't sense, they knew that the religious presentation was a lie and that they were hiding behind a series of lies, and that when confronted with what God actually had to say, it resonated. It was what they always expected God to be. But Don, you're really no different than Tony in that regard. Yes, for you it wasn't the Talmud, but it was the lies of the Seventh-day Adventist that you were out to investigate, and the truth led you to a relationship with Yahweh, and that truth was, that search was somehow aided and abetted by the blunt presentation, the more accurate presentation of Yahweh's testimony as researched through the Dead Sea Scrolls through yada yada, introduction to God. So you've been a beneficiary of this journey that we have been on together.
Oh, immensely. And I will add to that, that it took me, and we won't go there, it took me months to deal with Paul. I had no problem giving up Jesus. I already knew that. I knew his proper description. I didn't understand the meaning of the description, but I knew the meaning, or his the Messiah was always my Jesus. And my problem, as you bloody well know, was my cornerstone was Paul. My beliefs were centered on Paul. And
as are all Christians. That Paul is the founder of the Christian religion.
Exactly. That is a gut-wrenching decision. And when you combine that with the daily activities of so many people that are listening to this program, I would say, and I'll use one of your favorite quotes there, 99.9% of the people that are listening to this are not in my position. I'm fairly disabled. I have all of my time devoted to whatever I wish to devote to it. And when you combine struggling with your hero, your cornerstone, your belief, your foundation, your faith,
Yes.
And then you come up with income and taxes and personal problems with your family, especially today it's either alcohol or drugs. Those are the big ones. And it's difficult, yeah. It's difficult. It's extremely difficult. And you have to wrestle with this and realize that you're wrestling with it's not going to do any good until you look for power. And that's the power that I was talking about earlier. And if you keep looking, if you keep knocking, if you keep pushing the doorbell, that's what I always said. Seventh-day Adventists are at the door, and they know where the doorbell is, but they will not push it.
Yeah.
Most Christians, they don't even know where the doorbell is.
Yeah, they don't even know where the door is.
They don't even know where the door is.
Yeah, because the door is Passover. I have no clue where the door is.
Now, what did you just do? You pointed to what?
The Torah.
See,
and the Torah exists to show us that door.
Yes.
The Passover is the doorway to life. Matzah is the threshold that cleanses us prior to entering Yahweh's home. Lakotam is firstborn children, which is the result of being made immortal and being perfected. We were adopted into Yahweh's family. And Shavuah, the fourth of the seven Moed Mikre, is about Yahweh enriching and empowering his children, the covenant's children. It's the most important doorway that exists in the universe. And that doorway is presented in only one place.
Only one place.
And that's the Torah. And that doorway and the path that proceeds through that doorway only exists for one reason. It's not to save us.
Oh, no. No.
It's to adopt us. And adopting us puts us in the right position. What it does is positions us so that we can camp out with our Heavenly Father for all time. That's the purpose. If you want to know Him and to camp out with Him for all time, then you know where the doorway is. It's Passover. But that doorway and that path exists expressly to provide the covenant's benefits. And so if you want to benefit from that doorway and that pathway, then the only way for you to do so is to first get to know Yahweh and then come to understand and accept the terms and conditions of the covenant.
And coming to understand Him is in the Bacharish, the Genesis. If you take the time to read, not in the King James, I don't advise that, but you go to a number of our websites, you'll find fabulous, fabulous descriptions, especially yada yada. That, to me, that's the number one. I guess it's the number one because that's where I met my Creator. I knew Him.
Yeah.
But I never met Him.
Yeah, which is, by the way, why it's called yada yah. Yada means to know in a relational sense, to meet, to encounter, to acknowledge.
Yes.
And yah is the familiar, familial version of Yahweh's name. It's the version that I find myself using the most often. Yes, I know that Yahweh's name is Yahweh and that He constantly states that His name is Yahweh. But He uses Yah all of the time.
All the time, yes, yes.
And so the more, and
yes.
In fact, He uses it with those who know Him best, like Yashayah, Yirmiyah, Jeremiah and Isaiah. Those who know Him best, He uses Yah. So that's why I called it Yada Yah, to come to know Yahweh. And you know why that's the best place to begin? Because it begins at the beginning.
Yes, 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 yes. I can't emphasize that enough. That if you want to shake Paul, One of the greatest things you can do is, number one, recognize how terrible the man was, and just kind of recognize. And then I had at that time already been deep into translating myself, using interlinears and dictionaries, Genesis. I'll use the word Genesis because most people,
which called Bar-Rashith by Yahweh. In the beginning.
In the beginning. If you take that first sentence of the first line, you could spend a week on that.
Yes, you could. Absolutely. Let me ask you a question, Don, since we are speaking of the difference between Paul and the Torah, between Paul and Bar-Rashith in the beginning. What does Yahweh say about circumcision relative to Passover and to the covenant? I know you hear the music playing. Well, Don, what I want to do is hold that thought, and when we come back, I want you to share with me what Yahweh has to say about circumcision, the covenant, and Passover, and then I want you to share what Paul wrote about circumcision in the book of Galatians. We'll be back with Shattering Myths and with Don after the short commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We left the last segment by giving a lifelong Pauline advocate, no longer, but a man whose worldview, his faith, was predicated on the letters written by Paul, a challenge. I asked my good friend Don to share with us what the Torah has to say about circumcision relative to participating in the covenant and participating in Pesach, the doorway to life, and then compare that to what Paul has to say about circumcision, particularly in his initial letter, that's to the Galatians. So, my friend, what does Yahweh in the book of Bar-Rashith in the beginning, Genesis, have to say about circumcision relative to the covenant and to Passover?
I will go the other way around.
Okay.
I will start with one of the only things that Paul got right.
Okay.
And I want Christians to fasten your seatbelts.
Okay.
In fact, you may want to turn the audio down because what you're going to hear here could be disastrous to your faith.
Yeah.
Paul said, "You're circumcised, you ain't saved, baby."
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
he didn't have the baby, but that was what he said. If you are circumcised, then your faith in Christo avails you not. So that if you're circumcised, you cannot be saved, according to Paul. As a matter of fact, didn't Paul end his letter to the Galatians by asking the fellow who was writing down his what he was saying, his scribe, to give him the pen and in his own handwriting go into a diatribe against circumcision?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so in Galatians, Paul is wholly opposed to circumcision, all the way to the point where he says, if you're circumcised, you cannot be saved, and that Christo avails you not.
Exactly. Now then,
okay.
What does Bar-Rashith say, or Genesis say?
Yeah. What does it say?
You must be, it's the fifth part of stepping towards and learning about Yah.
It's a condition of the covenant, isn't it?
Yeah. How old was Abraham when he circumcised himself?
Over 100.
Think about that.
Over 100. That's older than you are, Don.
Oh, man.
Now, by the way, did Yahweh establish with Abraham how much needs to be cut off?
Negative.
Did he tell Abraham who needs to cut it off?
Negative.
Did he have any religious instructions associated with circumcision?
Negative.
In fact, is there any law of circumcision, a set of rules of this is how to do it? No.
Negative.
Not a peep.
Just the word.
What do you think? What do you think Yahweh chose circumcision as the sign of the covenant? And Yahweh says that circumcision is the sign of the covenant for all time, for all people, and all places. Period. End of statement. Why do you think Yahweh chose circumcision as the, which is, by the way, it's women sometimes get frustrated that Yahweh would have a condition for men that he does not have for women. But you have to be really careful. The condition of circumcision was for parents to circumcise their sons. So it involves moms and dads making a decision to raise their children to be Yahweh's covenant children. But why do you think he chose circumcision?
Separation.
You betcha.
At the point of conception.
Right.
The very point of conception.
Circumcision, to be set apart.
Set apart.
What is the covenant? When Yahweh is, talks about establishing the covenant, do you know what the actual Hebrew word for establish actually means?
No.
It's karat.
Tell me.
Yes, karat. Yes. It means to cut.
Karat, cut.
Correct. To separate.
Yes.
The covenant is about cutting. It's about separating. It's about cutting ties with human religious schemes and the human family to be cut into, separated into Yahweh's covenant family. You can't. He's trying to convey this idea that you can't be part of both. It's one or the other.
Yes.
And regarding Passover, can you attend Passover without being circumcised as a man, according to the Torah?
Yes. Oh, no.
You can't?
No.
So either if God was telling the truth, Paul lied, didn't he?
And if you do attend it,